We all know people who like pets. A woman with three or four cats. Maybe a breeder with a kennel full of backyard dogs. But for some people, a compulsion to collect animals can become overwhelming. And a dozen animals can quickly turn into 50 or 100. Animal hoarders have so many animals, they can't take care of them properly. The cats and dogs in their care often become sick or die. North Las Vegas authorities recently seized 112 cats from Natalie Beck, a woman with a history of hoarding. Gina Grison, president of Nevada Voter for Animals, was on the scene and she joins us now. Gina, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having me. Good morning.
So what did you see when you went into Ms. Beck's home up in North Las Vegas?
Actually, the first thing I saw when I pulled up was items outside the front door, and I knocked on the door and she actually came around from the back. And I'm imagining I'm going to run into the person who's in the profile picture I've seen on Facebook. I didn't know her. We were friends on Facebook. She was in some of the rescue circles that I was in, but no one really knew who she was. Her appearance was shocking, to say the least. And I knew right away that this was going to be much worse than the 20 cats that she was urgently needing help with. So her appearance alone sent up the very first red flag.
She was unkempt or?
Out of respect for her, I'm just going to say that it was very bad. She had open wounds. Her hair was, she was dirty. There was issues with personal hygiene, basic personal hygiene issues.
So when you went there, you were expecting how many cats? 20?
20.
And you found 112.
We didn't even know until after about 8 hours that I didn't get the final count, and probably until about midnight that night, we had no idea. When I finally convinced her to allow me into the home, and I could smell. I mean, as soon as I got out of my car, I could smell the odor coming from inside the home. And when she opened the door, there hadn't been running water for months in the house. There was no air conditioning, which prompted all of this. It's what prompted the property management inspection to come over because the AC had broken. And when she opened the door, the first thing I saw were bugs crawling under the carpet and the overwhelming smell of ammonia and the heat. I was shocked.
And so what kind of condition were the animals in?
Well, some of them, you know, some of the photos that have been seen in the media, you know, some of them in the kitchen area, looked healthy. There was food. The problem was that in a lot of other areas, which I have not shared those photos, but they have been sent to officials, and they were there. So, the carpet was, I mean, there was feces and urine and, you know, lots of bugs, and it was bad.
And so even though the cats have been now rescued, they're all able to be cleaned up and rehabilitated?
Well, I was hoping you guys could give me a disposition on what was going on with the cats in preparation for the show, because I know that they were still going back for 10 days and still trapping cats. There were cats that they couldn't catch. Some of them were tamer. Clearly, we didn't see all the cats. I mean, no one had any idea. Even when the animal control officer went in and tried to really, you know, get a count, they came out and said 50 to 60. I was floored when I heard that the count was well over 100.
Also joining us on the phone is Christiana Bradiosa. She's a social work professor at the University of Nebraska in Omaha. Christiana, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Natalie Beck told people that she was running a rescue organization. You've heard Gina say that she was a member of Facebook groups that rescue cats. How often do hoarders think of themselves as rescuers of these stray animals?
It's actually quite common. In fact, people who hoard animals tend to fall into one of three subtypes, and the rescuer is probably the most common of those subtypes. So this is someone who believes that they are called to retrieve animals, to save them from uncertain death or uncertain circumstances, and often the rescuer then becomes the second subtype, which is the overwhelmed caregiver of animals. So this is someone who starts out with good intentions to rescue, but they become overwhelmed by the burden of caring for so many, providing proper veterinary care and nutrition and so forth.
And so why don't we know as much about this animal hoarding as we do about people who keep newspapers and furniture and clothes in their house?
We actually know very little by comparison. Interestingly, the research into object hoarding has really only been the focus of academic attention for about the past 25 to 30 years. And so that's relatively new when you consider other mental illnesses like depression or schizophrenia that we have been studying for literally hundreds of years. And animal hoarding, actually, the research work that has been done in that area to date has largely been done by the veterinary and animal welfare communities, looking largely at the impact of the hoarding on the animal. We do know some basic information about the types of people that hoard animals, but there are a lot of things we don't know. We don't know the prevalence of this problem in this country, for example. So the research is actually really in its infancy.
So what do we know about the people who hoard animals?
Well, we know, and this is all self-report data from research studies, so it should be taken with that in mind. But we know that people who hoard animals tend to be women more commonly than men, especially women who are discovered, that is, that either, you know, they're reported or come forward around in their mid-50s. The most commonly hoarded animals are cats and dogs. These people tend to be quite socially awkward and socially isolated. What they tell us when they come in for assessment in research is that they prefer to be with their animals. They find the animal relationships much more reliable than human relationships. And this actually traces back to their early childhood. Many people who hoard animals discuss that their early and primary attachments were with animals and not human beings. And either that's because they were in chaotic families or they didn't have strong parent attachments. But it seems that this is a pattern that starts early in life and follows them.
So, Gina Grison, you are in the rescue business for cats and dogs. You know lots of rescue groups and people. Was at some point did it seem as if Natalie Beck was a rescuer?
No, I want to be very clear that, on Facebook, there's a lot of anonymous people that will friend you and, you know, ask to become part of groups. No one that I know, no legitimate rescue. She was not a part of any legitimate rescue. I know lots of rescuers. We all network together. I'm more of an advocate on the political side. The only reason I showed up that day was because no one else was available to, and I just thought, well, let me go over and help her because, you know, maybe she got in over her head and I want to help her with her property manager, see if we can sort this thing out, maybe get some of these cats into rescue, make sure they're all spayed and neutered. Certainly I had no idea what I was going to walk into. And I do believe that there is sometimes a fine line between rescue and hoarding. I think, I have a permit for 6 dogs myself. I don't do rescue because I recognize in myself that I can't say no. I can't say no to all the cruelty cases I work on, and I work myself to death, and I'm a volunteer. So I understand. I mean, you have to recognize that. And certainly you look at even like other addictions that, you know, a little bit of something's okay, but a lot of something is not okay. And you almost wonder, like, where did you cross the line? But the problem with Ms. Beck is, I think what really changed it for me was finding out that she had done this before over in the city of Las Vegas. So clearly my concern in this case is that what are we going to do to prevent this from happening? How are we going to draw the line in the sand and say, you know what, we're not going to, it needs a multidisciplinary approach. It has to happen. We on the scene that day, I wondered why social services weren't called out, why mental health professionals weren't called out. At that moment, you had code enforcement, law enforcement, animal control, you had ambulances, fire engines, you had all these people responding, but the one thing that we really needed there was the mental health aspect.
Christiana Bradiosis, you're an expert in mental health. Explain to us, what is that difference between a rescuer and a hoarder, the person that really can't understand when it's the time to say no?
Yes, I couldn't agree more with your other guest, actually. I do believe that it is well established at this point that there are strong delusional beliefs among people who hoard animals attached to their thoughts about the animals. So they often have very strong beliefs that they are the best person or the only person to care for these animals, despite the fact that they're sometimes living in poor conditions, not receiving proper nutrition or veterinary care. And I think there is no question that what we're talking about here is a mental illness when we're talking about proportions of animals. So the definition really that has been put forth by the veterinary community says that you have to have an accumulation of animals that are living in poor conditions, and often the person who is hoarding those animals is unable to recognize that they're not providing good care. So where you have all three of those criteria, what you're really talking about is a case of animal hoarding. And it is true that many people who hoard animals begin to call themselves rescuers. They are not registered rescuers or registered breeders, but as they begin to get into trouble, they try and attach those labels to themselves to keep, you know, from receiving some of the punishments that are associated with abuse and neglect of animals.
Okay, you just told us that we don't know a lot about these causes and the treatment for animal hoarding, but what would be some kind of suitable treatment? I mean, how do we deal with animal hoarders if it's a mental illness?
Well, I think your other guest really said it, which is that we need both the enforcer and supportive end of this. We need multidisciplinary interventions. If a mental health or crisis worker could have been present, and if an assessment could have been done of her mental health, and she was connected to services, that ultimately is going to be what will prevent the recidivism. It is not at all surprising for me to hear that this person has hoarded previously, unless the courts in their adjudication of these cases, so it's really a call to judges to be thoughtful about not just issuing punitive orders, but issuing orders for remediation through counseling. And in particular, we know that cognitive behavioral therapy is the treatment that shows the greatest effectiveness for object hoarding. And so that would be a place, while we're still catching up in terms of science, it would be my recommendation that people with animal hoarding would be ordered to cognitive behavioral therapy in order to begin to remediate some of those delusional beliefs.
Gina Grice, and Natalie Beck's been charged with one count of animal cruelty. How would you like to see this case resolved?
Actually, I want more counts of animal cruelty. I want to make sure that we stack as many charges as we can. One of the things that we need to do is make sure that we're adequately charging the case.
But if she's delusional, what does that
achieve? There's a reason. I don't want it to be where we're going to slap her on the wrist and, you know, the courts aren't going to take it seriously. We have a serious lack of mental health services in this community already. So we need to make sure that we're taking this case as seriously as it is. Lots of those cats, I'm sure, have already been euthanized. A lot of them were sick that went in. Some of them were healthy. Some of them may be adoptable. But we're talking, this woman is now probably responsible for about 200 animals dying now with all good intentions, right? Animal cruelty doesn't require, it can be by omission. So we need to make sure that we're holding accountable for each charge. But then what we need to do is then order her, as your other guest said, into mental health court. I'm not asking, I'm demanding she be ordered, because here's the problem. In that day, she wanted to be forgiven, and I said, you have refused all services. You have refused all help. The problem is she's sick and she doesn't know she's sick. So we can't ask her what she wants, or we can't, you know, just allow her to walk away with a ticket. We have to pull her in to the system and force her and then monitor her, or there is a 100% recidivism rate. So that's what I'm hoping North Las Vegas officials will do, and I am working with them to say, let's let this case be set the standard for how we're going to, handle hoarding cases in this state, certainly Southern Nevada.
It's tough love.
Very tough love. Yeah, I'm not going to allow her to do this again. It's not going to happen.
Christina Bradiosis, we only have about 30 seconds left, but if somebody suspects they know a hoarder, what should they do?
Well, if you believe certainly that animals are in danger, I think we're all ethically guided by our own moral compass to let authorities know so that a living creature is not harmed. If you don't believe there is imminent danger for the animals, I think approaching the person with care and compassion and love and empathy, understanding that this is in most cases not malicious, but the person is setting out to do good and that has gone terribly wrong and needs remediation. But I think if we approach it with empathy and compassion, that's our best bet for getting the person to begin to recognize that there is an issue to be addressed.
I want to thank Christiana Bradiosa. She's a professor of social work at the University of Nebraska, Omaha. And also to thank Gina Grison. She's president of Nevada Voters for Animals here in Southern Nevada. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.